Hey there. How are you today? My name's Dana Demara. You have landed on Soul Medicine. I want to just offer up a few administrative items before we begin our deep dive into this podcast. And first of all, I want to say thank you for being here. I'm so grateful. So first, for you yogis out there, always thank you for joining me. Because you are a loyal listener and you're interested in yoga, meditation, breath work, and sound healing, I'm offering you a gift just for listening. I've been at this practice of yoga for over 2 decades now, and in 2020, I created my own portal of full healing modalities. I would love for you to try it out for 2 weeks on me. Yes, on me. Just go to danademarayoga.com. Put in your email address and you receive instant access to live virtual classes and a library of over 300 recorded classes of days gone by. This is my gift for you. Thank you. Those of you interested in astrology, if you go to myastrocast.com, you'll get a mini speed course on astrology. This little course will give you a general overview of astrology. However, if you thirst for more, every week I host a podcast on YouTube all about the weekly astrological outlook. It's free, and if you subscribe on YouTube, the update will come right to you. Just look for me on YouTube. You can't miss it. One more thing I think you may want to know. I do update my website often. I do my best, and I send out newsletters weekly. Sometimes more than once a week. So if that's your jam, go to my website and subscribe to my newsletters. Just go to danademara.com, put in your email address in the little pop-up there, and you'll get emails from me. Now here's the deal about emails. You're going to get emails. If something doesn't resonate, just delete it. But don't unsubscribe. Okay? I do want to say this about my website, though. It still is very static info, right? So if you are an Instagram person and you want daily musings, free meditations, early morning practices, find me on Instagram at Dana Demara Evolution. It's also my Facebook handle. However, I don't really post very much there. It's odd to me that we need so many channels. So I would say find one that works for you, and I'll meet you there. Of course, for those of you who live here in Encinitas, California, I do host weekly classes in person, sound healing and breathwork sessions right here in SoCal. So I would say just check my website at danademarayoga.com and you'll be able to find all the info you need. Nice little calendar there. Sometimes we practice on the bluff. Sometimes we're practicing at different locations in and around Encinitas and La Costa, but I would love to see you somewhere on this path. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're invited to learn and listen with me. Take a moment to ground in, breathe, and give yourself a moment of stillness. I want to say thank you to Beautiful Chorus for this beautiful intro. It's called The Opening. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.
All right. Well, welcome back to Soul Medicine. I have the pleasure of having Dr. Sarah Ann Rothman with me again today. I feel so lucky to have the bat phone directly to this wonderful, powerful woman. We've just touched on every time we sit down to talk about one subject, we want to talk about another one and then another one, and it just weaves into more and more. And so these little podcasts with Dr. Sarah are not going to go away anytime soon. So today we're going to talk about adrenals. I think, we talked about thyroid a couple of sessions ago, and everything is interwoven in our body. And I think sometimes in our conventional medical system, we go into the doctor and we just get treated for one thing. And I'm a firm believer that, first of all, if you have an issue anywhere in the body, physical, it's been sitting there for a while on an emotional level or a lineage level. Like it's been there already, and now it's just manifested into a physical issue. And so I want to go with the adrenals today. And I know a little bit about adrenals. I'm going to let Dr. Sarah really drop in. But, I went through a phase in my life where I had adrenal fatigue, and my adrenals were just burnt out from running, running, running all the time. And I also know that they are related to the root chakra. So it's that fight or flight. And I would just love to have Dr. Sarah kind of talk about it and how we can really take care of these all important glands. So, welcome, Dr. Sarah.
Thank you so much, Dana. I love being here with you. Love, love, love. It's so fun and always so insightful. And yeah, this is like the infinite Dana and Dr. Sarah podcast because we could talk for hours and hours about all the things. So the adrenals are a big one. Most people have heard the term adrenal fatigue, right? Or adrenal overdrive. It's been almost like a buzzword in the wellness community for many years now, which like thank goddess, right? Thank goodness, just because in conventional medicine, the adrenals are often not really looked at unless they're completely way in overdrive or completely way in underdrive, right? And both of those ends of the spectrum, especially under-functioning adrenals can be fatal. There's something called Addison's disease. So in conventional medicine, that's looked at kind of almost as emergent, right? And then Cushing's disease is the other end of the spectrum, and that's the diagnosis for a greatly over-functioning adrenal glands. But the beauty of the wellness world now, and just I think a lot of people intuitively are stepping into really nourishing and caring for our adrenal glands because there's so much in between, right? And as always, we've been talking about kind of these different meridians, organ systems, glands in the body. And I just want to kind of open with and really emphasize that we're these complex layered beings, and everything relates to everything else. So we can't really separate the adrenal glands or the thyroid glands or the liver or the sex hormones. Just like we're not just one of our chakras, right? Like they're all deeply connected. And so when we talk about or when we like kind of zoom in on some of these glands or systems, we always, always, always want to take into account the whole constitution, the whole body, right? Because I could see like 100 people with adrenal fatigue and approach working with them completely differently based on their own constitution, based on their environment, based on their lineage, based on their diet and what their body likes to eat intuitively, right? Based on what's going on with thyroid and sex hormones and heart and kidneys and their chakra system and their energetics. So it really is not a one size fit all approach.
Tell us where the adrenal glands are for those of us who don't, for those people who don't know where they are or their functions.
Okay, yeah, thank you. That's probably a good place to start. They're these little hats that sit on top of the kidneys. So they look like little like mushroom tops or little hats that sit on top of the kidneys, and the kidneys are in our like mid to low back. So often the adrenals are associated with They're associated with kind of like the first, second, and third chakra, I would say. So that, yeah, they sit right on top of the kidneys. So the kidneys also play a big role in adrenal function physiologically. From a Western medicine perspective, from a Chinese medicine perspective, there's no adrenal meridian. So kidney health, like our kidney yin and our kidney yang and our kidney essence, is totally interwoven with our adrenal function.
Yeah. And so tell us now what puts the adrenals out of balance.
Number
One.
one, stress, right? Stress. And that could be stress like, oh my goodness, I have so many things going on in my life, and how am I going to manage all of this? And I'm working 14-hour days and sleeping for 4 hours, you know? And it could be just like collective stress, or the stress that's involved in evolution, in transformation, in change. It can be the pace of our external environment and the pace of kind of like the macrocosm and where our bodies want to be internally. But yeah, stress, I would say, is the number one cause. Disconnection with our natural rhythms. So they are, the adrenals are known as our fight or flight glands. You know, textbook definition is like their adrenals are how we respond as if we are running away from a tiger. And so some of you may have heard, like, some of us live like we're running away from a tiger all day long, all night long, every day, every night, right? Because we're in a sympathetic response, and our circadian rhythm, so our sleep and wake cycles. So the other, I guess, like next to stress and maybe like braided into stress, is our sleep and wake cycles and our rhythm with the natural rhythm of the earth and the moon and the dark and the light.
A couple things I was going to say about adrenal glands is that well, a couple things. One is on a collective level, I feel like a lot of people say that they get burnt out. Like a lot of my clients around the holidays, so I'm so burnt out. I'm so burnt out. And spring break too, like when kids are off school, and I'm so burnt out. I'm feeling so tired. I'm not sleeping. And then I think that's because over the holiday, we're supposed to be in hibernation, and our whole entire society in the Northern Hemisphere, anyways, in America, anyways, we are not in hibernation. We are pushing ourselves beyond what we're supposed to be doing, number one. And that goes all the way through to February, I believe, and we're not supposed to be in that push, push, push stage. I also remember when I first learned about Ayurveda years ago. And when I learned about Ayurveda and the whole like following the different clock as far as like your body clock, right? And when I learned about Ayurveda, I said, we're so doing everything wrong. We're like making ourselves sick. What are we doing? And we're waking up our kids at, 6 a.m. to go to school. Like these kids are not, this is just example number one. Kids are not supposed to get up that early, especially teenagers. Teenagers are supposed to be sleeping. Right. And they're not. So they're getting up, they're doing these things. And then for me personally, I remember pushing, 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 pushing myself, just being a single mom. And when I moved from the Bay Area down to Cardiff by the sea, much slower pace, I think the first month that I lived here, I think I slept on the beach like 4 hours a day. Just bringing myself back into this balance that I had lost for so long. I just had lost. It wasn't like I still wasn't working like I was, but the energy just really, it almost forced me to slow down. So maybe you could speak to some of that.
Yes, absolutely. I relate to that completely, moving from the Bay Area. And I mean, I was in Pacifica, which was a pretty sleepy town. But Hawaii, every island time, you know, so everything is just slower. And I personally am a very energized person, high energy person. I'm also a manifester and a doer. And I'm learning and have spent much of my adult life learning to be more of a beer, you know, and just go slower. And honestly, one of the best ways to do that is Making intentional time for rest, and ideally, we're all going to sleep when the sun goes down and when it's dark, and waking up when the sun rises, right? Like in rhythm or in cycle with the sun. In this world of a lot of artificial light and cars and noise and traffic and jobs and children and school, that's not realistic for a lot of people. But even like if you are up for the sunrise, and if you go to bed kind of early enough to still get a good 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours is ideal, really, for adults. 8 hours is ideal if you can get 8 hours, and then ideally kind of going to bed earlier and then waking up with the sun, and which of course changes throughout the seasons. But even kind of sitting in the sun with your eyes closed, looking at the sun with your eyes closed during sunrise and during sunset, is one of the best practices that we can do to help remember our rhythm with the sun and the moon. And another big one is sleeping in complete darkness where you can. So even like a little tiny flash of a computer screen or of a phone or of a clock, red or blue, that can disrupt circadian rhythm. That will decrease our melatonin, which is our sleep hormone, and raise our cortisol. And melatonin and cortisol is the main hormone associated, one of the main hormones associated that the adrenals secrete. So often when people talk about adrenal fatigue, or adrenal resistance or adrenal overdrive, often it's because of either super high cortisol, super low cortisol, and adrenaline, norepinephrine, play into that as well, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But back to the melatonin. When melatonin is high, often cortisol goes down, and naturally, while we're sleeping, melatonin is high and cortisol is low. And when melatonin goes down, so if you're exposed to a little bit of light or like tons of street lights outside your window or like noise pollution outside your window, melatonin is going to naturally go down at night and cortisol is going to go up. And when cortisol goes up at night, that can cause restless sleep, insomnia, and inflammation. And it can also cause blood sugar spikes in the middle of the night. So, sleeping in the dark and exposing our eyes and our bodies to either sunrise or sunset as much as we can, as much as possible, are, I think, two of the most kind of natural ways to reconnect with our internal rhythm and our earthly rhythm.
Yeah. Well, and the tell me, so the main function of the adrenals and the main hormones that are associated with them are cortisol and melatonin. And the function, from what I know, and this is just in my language, is to keep us in a state of motivated awareness. Like we're it moves us, it moves us forward. Like, okay, we need to have that sense of like get up and go. But when you have that get up and go all the time, there's no rest.
There's no rest, and that's when the adrenals go into overdrive. So so melatonin is actually secreted from the pineal gland, in the brain, but it is directly correlated to cortisol, which is secreted from the adrenals. So the main hormones or substances secreted from the adrenals are cortisol, adrenaline. So right, adrenal comes from adrenal, adrenaline and noradrenaline, which are also called epinephrine and norepinephrine, and then a hormone called DHEA. And DHEA plays a big role in our sex hormone function. So it's a precursor to estrogen and testosterone. And they secrete other things as well, the adrenals, but those are kind of the five main ones: cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, and DHEA. And yeah, I love how you said that. They motivate us, right? The adrenal glands are our oomph. They're our kind of like go hormones. So we do want some oomph. We don't want to be running away from a tiger all day and all night. But we do want that energy, that oomph. And cortisol, like a balanced amount of cortisol, is super anti-inflammatory, which is why when people are in a lot of pain, or they have an autoimmune diagnosis, the conventional treatment is steroids, cortisone, right? Or cortisone cream to calm rashes, right? So we need some cortisol because it acts as a potent anti-inflammatory. So it really is a fine balance here, because too much cortisol can cause stress on the heart. It can affect the thyroid gland. It can create patterns of insomnia and anxiety and panic. It can cause weight gain. It all kinds of things, right? And then not enough cortisol is often related to adrenal fatigue, and that's when we see a lot of fatigue or lightheadedness, exhaustion, depression. And again, like we talked about when we spoke about the thyroid, it's not really black and white. There's a lot of interweaving. There's a lot of fatigue can be both from overfunctioning adrenals and underfunctioning adrenals because they're so dynamic. Just our bodies in general are so dynamic, right? Especially when it comes to hormone secretion. And so often adrenal fatigue or kind of underfunctioning, suboptimal adrenal function comes from a place of overfunctioning adrenals. The adrenal, because our adrenals are smart, our bodies are so smart that all of the rhythms and patterns in our bodies are like magical, right?
Right.
When we're go, 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 when we're experiencing a lot, the adrenals will secrete more cortisol or more adrenaline to give us the energy, the oomph, the motivation to move through, to help decrease inflammation in the body, right? Like stress itself, fear, worry, certain thought patterns secrete the same inflammatory cytokines as are secreted in arthritis or other inflammatory conditions in the body. And so when there are inflammatory cytokines from these thoughts or feelings, the adrenals come in to protect us, right? Or to try to balance, to try to find homeostasis or balance in the body. It's really, really a fine balance, kind of. And the beauty of this is a lot of the herbs that are taken for the adrenals, and some of you may have heard of a lot of these herbs are big buzzword herbs too, like ashwagandha, and astragalus is another one, rhodiola, ginseng. A lot of the ginsengs are often used for adrenal function. A lot of these herbs are called adaptogens, and I love that because they are adapting to what our bodies need. So even ashwagandha, for example, tends more towards kind of calming the adrenals when the adrenals are in overdrive or when the system is in overdrive, but it can also work to energize the body and to boost cortisol if it needed. So the same herb adapts to what our body needs. That's part of the plant magic, right? It works with our body. So the same herb can boost adrenal function and calm adrenal function.
I had no idea, because I remember when I had adrenal fatigue and I was taking ashwagandha. That was my first introduction to like mushroom powder of any kind of adaptogen. That was my first, and it worked. It worked, and now I'm the girl putting all that kind of powder into my cup of coffee in the morning. I have my all my adapt I have more adaptogens now than I do anything else in my coffee, with my collagen and all the goodness that goes into it. I think it's just really important that we understand these things. I have a question for you, and this came up. I had to write a note while you were talking. You said it produces DHEA, is that correct? Okay. So I always thought, and I have a feeling I know how you're going to answer this, but I always thought that DHEA was something that had to do with brain function.
Absolutely, it does. And it's again a hormone of many functions. It's often looked at as a graceful aging hormone, and it's over the counter. You can just buy it as a supplement, and it's different than DHA. So I want to a lot of people question about that. So DHA is one of the anti-inflammatory components of fish oil and algae oil supplements and things like that. DHEA is a hormone, and it is essential for a clear mind and a clear brain, and promotes memory and cognition. And cortisol, a balance of cortisol, a balance of adrenaline is also really important for that.
So,
And a lot of the herbs, sorry, what were you going to say?
taking DHEA, right? If I take DHEA, right, then that is to support the balance of the secretion of cortisol within the adrenals that actually at the same time helps brain function. Is that what you're saying? I just want to understand.
DHEA, yeah, thank you for asking. So DHEA is secreted from a different part of the adrenals than cortisol. So it has like different kind of pathways and different functions than cortisol. A lot of the times when the adrenals are fatigued, they're secreting low cortisol and low DHA, but sometimes not, right? Sometimes the adrenals will be secreting low cortisol and then high DHA or high epinephrine or adrenaline and noradrenaline to try to balance out the low cortisol. But yeah, you can take DHA to help with brain function. I don't actually prescribe DHA that often. Sometimes when it's super low, I will, because it can be a great supplement for certain processes and patterns. But a lot of the herbs that work to regulate cortisol also work to regulate DHEA. So like some of the ginseng, Siberian ginseng, Eleutherococcus is kind of one of my favorites. And that's one of those herbs. Like a lot of the ginsengs, even Siberian ginseng or Eleutherococcus, are more they're adaptogenic, but they're more energizing. So those ones I'll use more to kind of boost the energy and boost the hormones in the adrenals. But Eleutherococcus, I've seen Siberian ginseng raise DHA by like 50 points in the blood after a month, you know? So a lot of the herbs that will take as allies to boost our cortisol, to help with our energy, to help nourish the adrenals a little bit, will also help boost DHEA. And I guess, and that's just like a personal way of practicing. Often I'll use herbs or diet or nutrients or lifestyle to help guide the body before kind of replacing with hormones. But a lot of naturopaths and a lot of practitioners love DHEA as a supplement and will suggest that right off the bat. And for some people, it's super helpful.
Well, it was the other thing I was going to mention is that when, and you just kind of touched on it, I think a little bit when you said looking at lifestyle too, you know, it makes me think of let's say, for example, you have a client, or I know many people that do this, where let's say they go to hot yoga every day, or they run every day, they do breath work every day. And to me, I feel like that's not what the body wants every day. The body, not only do we have to look at like the season, you know, like what's going on externally, but what is going to bring a balance to our life. So for me personally, I feel best if I run and, you know, that kind of thing, lift weights, and that's safe like 4 days a week, you know, opposite, and maybe a yin practice or a restorative practice, breath work no more than 2 to 3 times a week, because otherwise I feel like we're pushing the body.
Into that sympathetic state. And I will say, I am one of those people that am guilty of that. I love exercise. I love moving my body. Moving my body hard really helps move the energy in the body and calm my nervous system. So like running really fast in the rain, like I did this morning, we were talking about it earlier, or going to a HIIT class, which I actually canceled this morning because I was like, I'm gonna rest after my run. But it is, I am one of those, I get it because I'm one of those people that want to exercise, want to move. And for both adrenal fatigue, so if the cortisol is low, and adrenal resistance, or for people whose cortisol is already high, hard exercise, so boot camp or HIIT classes or running or even like hot yoga can actually do more harm than good if the adrenals are in major fatigue or major resistance. And kind of gentle yoga, yin yoga, walking, Pilates, meditation can nourish the adrenals if your body's on kind of one end of the spectrum or the other. You know, but it really depends on constitution, right? Because some people, if you're one of those people that exercises hard and loves it, like goes to a spin class or on a run and then gets exhausted after and needs to take a nap, or it just your body's hurting for a few days, that type of exercise probably isn't great for that constitution, right? But for people like me, and I think you too, sometimes like hard exercise calms my nervous
Totally.
system.
Oh, I feel so much better. I went running this morning. I ran the stairs by where I teach. I ran the stairs however many times and had my weights and, you know, was doing my jumping jacks and had my weights and, you know, it just felt so good to push and move, and I felt like I got a lot of that out. And at the same time, I don't feel tired afterward, but I will sleep 100 times better if I do that, do something like that every day. And then in the evening, I'll walk. I walk almost every night. before, either after dinner or before dinner, I'll walk every night because I feel like just walking outside away from the computer screen has kept my things in balance in my body.
Absolutely, absolutely, right? So it depends on constitution. I'm like that too. I think that for some people, hard exercise really good, and balance, 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 moderation, right? Equanimity. We talk about this a lot. And thank you for mentioning the two things you mentioned, the screen thing and then walking after meals. Cortisol is very much related to blood sugar, so crashes in blood sugar or spikes in blood sugar very much related to where our cortisol is at. So I actually see this a lot. A lot of women in their 40s or 50s who come to me and they're getting hot flashes at night and they think it's from low progesterone or low estrogen. Often it's from cortisol spiking at night and blood sugar spiking at night, or vice versa, low blood sugar because of cortisol drop. So it's really about just like regulating these rhythms and kind of like calming the nervous system, calming these when we calm the nervous system, when we tend to the adrenals, our temperature is more regulated, our blood sugar is more regulated, our moods are more regulated, our sleep is more regulated. And regulated, just hearing myself speak that word a lot, isn't the best word, because I think sometimes like going hard, feeling all the emotions, right? Or sometimes resting hard or exercising hard is a beautiful thing. I think balance is a better word, right? Like
We need to do a podcast. Well, we already talked about this. We need to do a podcast on menopause. And then we also need to do a podcast just on, how to, and again, I don't really like the word regulate either because I feel like we are meant to go out of balance and then find balance again. Like that's part of the even the intermittent fasting, which was another one we should do. But the whole idea of intermittent fasting of like making the body feel like it's starving so that everything kind of turns on. We're such a society of complacency, and we have everything at our fingertips, and there's no like there really isn't. Not only are we not being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, but we've become so freaking comfortable that we're sedentary, and that's a problem too. So it's like I almost feel like we need to do these things like, oh, and here's another one, a hot and cold. Like we need to do that hot and then cold. Why? Because we need to amp up our energy because so many people now are just like dun, 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 on the screens and on the computer.
On the screens, they're like flat almost,
Yeah,
right?
1D. I call it the 1D world. That's the 1D world. And we're not one dimensional. We're so much more. And so I feel like all these, there's so many things in our society now that we almost are trying to. We have to kind of give that fire to the adrenals so that the body kind of remembers, like, oh yeah, this is how this works, and this is how this works, and this is, I forgot that this works this way because I've been so sedentary. But then we don't want to go so far out of the box where we're overproducing.
Right. And I love that. I love that the way you speak of balance, right? Because often even when we are imbalanced, I think we've talked about this before, maybe like off screen, when we are imbalanced, often some big thing will happen or something will happen to shake it up a little bit. And that's how we evolve. That's evolution, right? That's healing. That's kind of like the spiral, the circle of healing. Working with the mess, working with the chaos, working in the imbalanced places, or working in the really intense places and the really flat places, right? It's catalyst.
A catalyst. That's a good word. Catalyst. Is there anything, any final notes you want to say about the adrenals?
They're amazing. I love them. And because they're a nervous system and they're sweet. They're these sweet little glands. And I'm so glad they're getting so much love in the wellness world, love and buzz. Now people are paying attention, and now like meditation is 10 years ago, there was no meditation in a lot of these business spaces. Now meditation and breath work and yoga and all the practices that we can do in our lives are being woven into Google and all of these companies where there's people staring at screens all day or working really long hours on screens. And so I love that they're so integrated. Diet is something we didn't really talk about, and that's huge for adrenal health. And that could be a whole other podcast too, but
I'm writing it down.
because of cortisol and its relationship to blood sugar, having regulated blood sugar in the diet is super important to keep the adrenals balanced as well. And just the power of these herbs, of these plants that are our elders and that have been around for thousands and thousands of years. Like how a plant or how an herb, just taken even short term to help nourish the adrenals in this kind of fast-paced external world that a lot of us live in, are so powerful. And I see it, I see people's like faces change, right? And their light exude more, like their eyes, the twinkle in their eye shifts with when we start to nourish these glands. And we see it in the blood work and in the urine and in the saliva, you know, if you want to go kind of physiological. But they're just, I'm so grateful that a lot of awareness and acknowledgement and attention has been put towards these parts of our bodies because they're crucial for regulating inflammation, for balancing blood sugar, for mood, for sex hormones, and they're really special. They give us our oomph, right? They give us our go, and they give us our nourishment and our rest.
Yeah. I love speaking with you.
Oh, you too. So
Yeah.
much.
Yeah. So I will put Dr. Sarah's website in the description. So if you want to get a hold of her Instagram is Dr. Sarah Ann Rothman, Ann with an E. So I do post when I post these, especially I do tag her in them. I would say follow her. She's a pretty amazing human. And if you're ever on the island of Maui, go to anything that she's offering. And if you're not, you can go to anything that she's offering online. Pretty incredible person. I keep trying to get her to move here to be with me and open a big healing center, and she's just not budging. So I don't know. It's one of these days.
I love you deeply, and that would be a dream in a lot of ways. You
Well,
know,
what would be the dream, Dr. Sarah, honestly, is like we could have a little space in Maui and we could have a little space in Encinitas and a little space in the Bay. I mean, come on.
oh, amen. Yes.
Whoa, I just got chills with that
Yes.
one. Woo! All right.
Me
Now I know what I'm going to go and journal about. Suddenly I'm inspired.
Me too. Me too.
Thank you so much, honey. It's always such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.